Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
From the newsroom to the nursery, we're juggling a demanding career on live TV with the demands of motherhood.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Karen.
They are Anchor Moms.
Hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of Anchor Moms, the podcast. Thought I'd mix it up a little bit there.
I felt like I was like, it was like a wrestling, like a WWE thing.
Exactly. There. Welcoming us in. We're basically wrestlers, right?
I mean, it feels like it sometimes with our children.
We wrestle our children. We wrestle our job. We wrestle life in general. Katie here, and Katie is back again this week. She was off last week, and we had wonderful Charles fill in who gave us a different perspective on things.
I know. I want to listen.
You should.
I haven't listened yet.
He's hilarious. For those of you who missed last week's episode, he is Katie's co-anchor on the morning show, and he is a dad of a 13-year-old daughter. So I was really hoping for him to say some positive, uplifting things like, life is hard now, Karen. Don't worry. Things will get so much easier.
Did he say that?
No. He basically said there's a short window from like 9 to 10 where things are easy and then it gets harder again. So, yay. Let's keep trudging along for that one glorious year where our kids are easy.
I think by the time our kids are in their 20s, it's going to be easy, right?
I mean, yes. But I can't really think past the next, you know, I can't think that far ahead.
Right. Like the next 15 years.
Sure. Anyway.
I wanted to let you guys know, if you follow me on social media, I was off. My dad passed away. Karen and I talked about, like, should we talk about this? Should we not talk about this? It's obviously very raw for me still. But obviously, like, you guys have been following along with my life for like years. And so I couldn't not. I just said to Karen, I don't think I can. We can't pretend like something big didn't happen. You know, this is what I'll say. If you've lost a parent, my heart really goes out to you, because I think that I lost my mom really young in my 20s. And I thought that losing a parent when they were older and I was older would be a bit easier. But I have to say that is just, it's not the case. And what I'm learning is like, it doesn't matter how ill they are, how old you are, how old they are, whatever the circumstances, it's still really painful. And so, you know, I just thank you to, if you've reached out to me, you know, via Facebook or Instagram, I like appreciate you. If you're someone I see in the community, thank you for your words. I can't tell you how much it's meant to me. And I thank you, Karen. Karen's crying over here, too. You know, thank you for just letting me breathe a little bit there's just so much going on with this podcast. We're going to get into that. We're doing some majorly exciting things. And this has been like a really pivotal point these past couple of weeks. And I just had to dip out for a week and a half. So I appreciate that. But yeah, you know, it's just,
it's hard.
It is. It's really hard. And it's just a process. And one of the things I was talking to my sister about is like, I keep wanting to feel better and maybe a little less sad, but I think this might just be something that you just have to like, just walk through. You can't escape grief over any death, especially the death of a parent. So, you know, I'm here, I'm back at work. Obviously I'm glad to be back with River and Brian. I took about a week and a half off work. So, you know, just bear with me. I have good moments and bad moments. So, you know.
Yeah. We're all thinking about
it. Yeah. Thank you.
Have been, but it is so tough. And I think you said it perfectly. It's just, you can't just snap your fingers and wake up and it's fine.
Yeah.
There's days where it is, and then there's days where it's not.
Right.
So But thanks for sharing. And I know that this is something that a lot of people, if they haven't gone through yet, will be going through.
We are
at an age where, unfortunately, this is happening and will happen. So it's tough.
Yeah. Yes. But so let's move on with our regularly scheduled programming, shall we?
Yes. You have the first one, which is kind of an interesting thing. I didn't know this went on.
I didn't know it went on either. And honestly, I'm kind of wondering why it doesn't go on more often. This one is from bnnbreaking.com. The title is Houston's 24-hour daycare ignites parenting debate on social media. And people have thoughts about this. The article says, in the heart of Houston, a video posted by someone on Instagram set the stage for this debate over this 24-hour daycare. It shows a parent dropping their kid off, I think, at like 10 p.m. And the reactions to this, people were very polarized, underscoring, this article says, the contentious nature of the topic. On one side, critics are arguing that a nighttime daycare environment, you know, especially one keeping children awake until midnight, could be detrimental to a child's development and well-being. While, of course, other people are saying, hey, listen, like parents have to work. They have to make the money. And this is not something that they would necessarily choose to do. But, you know, this is just a necessity. I'm actually surprised that there aren't more 24-hour daycares. I know we live here in Western North Carolina, but I've spoken to enough family and friends really across the nation, and it is like a childcare desert out there. It's hard to get childcare. It's expensive. And honestly, you know, in this day and age, parents have to work. That's just like the situation. And shame on people for shaming these parents who have to do this.
Yeah. The mom, I clicked on the video that this was posted about. And you can see her dropping her kid off at 10 p.m. and she comes back and picks her up at midnight. It's very surreal to see. It's dark outside. Mm-hmm. You know, you're dropping your kid off at 10 p.m. But look, Katie has an odd schedule, but
yeah,
but I'm lucky to have a semi-normal schedule. But let's not forget that businesses run 24 hours a day, and you might work at a place where you have to go in overnight. And what do you do if you don't have parents there or grandparents in town? I think it was kind of shocking to me that there was any blowback for this. I don't understand, like, why, like, this is necessary. In fact, as you said, we should have more of these.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, and I do. So I am into work anywhere between 3 and 3:30, you know, Monday through Friday. I have a husband who works not a 9-to-5 job. He's in sales. So sometimes he is out the door at our house at like 6 a.m. Of course, River gets up at like 6:15, goes to school. So we have a nanny who is literally invaluable in our lives. She comes to our house anywhere between 5 and 5:30. When Brian has to stay overnight or travel, she just stays at our house. If I did not have her nanny, I would be doing these 24-hour daycares, or I wouldn't be working. I mean, that's just like the truth of the matter, you know?
Right.
And again, we know it's hard to get reliable in-home. If they're not your relatives, if they're not grandparents, parents, it's hard to get reliable in-home childcare. So yeah, you know, I'm not surprised, but I'm not surprised this exists, and I'm equally not surprised that people are judging it.
Well, I was just thinking about it. You know, Sam just turned 2. And when I first found out I was pregnant, I put him on, I would say probably, I mean, every daycare I could think of in Asheville, probably 12 wait lists. And he did get into one when he was 20 months old. So it took 20 months. And guess how many calls we've gotten for those other ones?
How many?
None.
Wild.
Like, he literally got into one out of 12, and he is over 2.
Right.
And I'm grateful for the one he got in. But, I mean, if you think that it's not hard, and I always say, like, well, maybe it's just Asheville. I don't think it is, because I've talked to friends in other cities.
It's not just Asheville.
It's just really tricky.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous. Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Yeah. So anyway, do you have a mums for us?
I do. Mums. This is that segment where we recommend something to our listeners. Sometimes it's a product. Sometimes it's just some advice. This one is not a product. Perhaps it's advice. I had to think, because it's been such a
wild couple of weeks,
I had to really dig deep for this one, you guys. But then once I thought of it, I was like, this is the most obvious thing ever. So obviously, when we were spending time with my dad, I spent a significant amount of time with my Californian sister, my Southern Californian sister. And we were, you know, we were like wearing sweats and wearing, you know, tights, right? Mm-hmm. And she was like pulling her socks over her tight, her long socks over her tights,
yes,
or like her sneakers.
This is the thing, yes.
And I was like, wait, are we doing this now? And she was like, yes, everybody is doing this. You're going to love it. It's so much warmer than those like ankle socks. So I have officially done the switchover.
Oh,
I am now wearing like long athletic socks with my athletic tights and my sweats. Brian was like, what, like,
who are you?
What's happening? Like, what? Like, that is not a thing. What's happening? I think it's a thing, you guys.
No,
I
it's
think,
a thing. It's a thing.
I think if you are a millennial, this is really hard for you because us millennials, we want to wear those shorty socks. But guys, make the transition, especially if you're someone who's always cold like me. It's way more comfortable and warmer.
Okay.
And I think this is like a thing. This is a thing. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry.
No, you shouldn't be. Yeah. You're very trendy. I think a lot of young people do it. I mean, all of my, like...
What are you saying?
I'm saying I agree with you. I think it's
okay.
a thing.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you're spot on that us old millennials are like, I don't know.
Right.
But I think that this is the trend. I think everyone I see who's, you know, in their 20s is doing this.
Am I too old for this?
No. Katie, you're trendy.
Yes. Okay.
You
well, I just
trendy.
Wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I bought like, so of course we're like running back and forth from the hospital and we like stopped at Target one day and I was like, I'm buying a pack of these like crew socks right now at Target. And my sister was like, go for it. I bought like a 10 pack, haven't taken them off since.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, this is a thing,
I mean,
for me.
But I'm trying to remember, we did this when we were little kids.
Did we?
I think.
I don't know.
I think that was the trend when we were little and then it went away for like, you know, 30 years, and now it's back.
Well, that tracks. Like, everything from the 80s and 90s is back. Now, when the side part comes back, I'll be ready for that,
the
too.
The side part that I'm still rocking?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But that's all right.
I never said no to.
I think that's, like, on one of those millennial lists, like, if you go on Instagrams, mm-hmm. like, a side part and shorty socks labels you as, like, a millennial. But, I mean, we are millennials. So, anyway, that's
side
my, like—
part and short socks for life.
Okay. All right. And like I said, if you're feeling adventurous.
I do get the warmth aspect.
Yes.
Because sometimes, you know, if you're running and it's cold out, you're like, man, this little
one-inch
skin exposure on my ankle is not fun.
I also said to Brian, you know how like when you're running or you're working out and those shorty socks like rub on the back of your ankle? No.
Mm-hmm.
This takes care of it. So.
I remember, did you do this? I remember when I was... must have been a teenager and shorty socks were like just in, but I didn't have them yet.
Oh.
And I would pull the long ones down and fold them over.
That sounds uncomfortable.
It was terrible. But I would do it because I was like, oh, everyone's wearing the shorty socks and I haven't like gone to Walmart yet or I don't know what I was doing. But I would pull them down and fold them over on top of my foot.
So that people.
Inside my shoe.
So that
so
you
they
had
looked like
shorty socks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're always very resourceful, so I appreciate that about you. I'm surprised you're not still doing it just to, like, save a buck, to be honest.
I know, right?
I'm going to give you all my shorty socks because that's the only problem. Like, now I have this drawer full of, like, shorty socks that I've had for, like, the last 15 years.
You know, it's funny. I don't think I said this on the podcast, but I literally could not – I think I had two pairs of socks that I could locate, like, good pairs.
Recently?
Yes. This was, like, a month ago. And I had a bunch of mismatched holes. I mean, they were old. Like, my sock situation was very dismal.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And it was every time I would go work out, I'm like, oh, let me find one of those two pairs of socks I have. And finally, I was like, wait a minute. I am 41 years old.
Yeah, you're going to get yourself some new socks.
I should buy some socks.
You should.
So I bought, like, a 10-pack of socks on Amazon. And then I was like, wait, what? Why did I have to convince myself to buy some new socks? Anyway, they're amazing.
Well, now it's time to get rid of those and get the long,
socks. Finally buy new socks, and the trend has changed.
That's all right. That's all right.
Okay, this next article is from Trading View. It's called Ozempic Effect: Food Industry Feels the Heat as Weight Loss Drugs Get Popular. Investors Call for Menu Makeovers. I thought this was interesting. Obviously, the whole Ozempic trend is big, right? Mm-hmm. But I hadn't really thought about how it was impacting the food companies. This article says that they are reevaluating their business strategies. That includes portion sizes, recipes, divesting assets, and how this push or this dependency on Ozempic by a lot of people is meaning that there is now a threat to, quote, big food, which I didn't really know that was a thing.
A thing?
Yeah. I thought this was kind of funny. It called unhealthy food is the new cold.
I know. I highlighted that
as well. So, like, think back to that, you know, realization and that whole push years ago. And now it's like, oh, that's what we're calling, you know, that's what unhealthy food is now. But apparently the... you know, the CEOs from these food companies have been reaching out to the company that makes Ozempic, like, hey, this is a big deal and this is really going to affect us. Walmart saying that they have seen the impact directly, that the consumers are now buying less junk food, less things with more calories than they had pre-Ozempic, which seems crazy to me.
Yeah, I mean... I think what's crazy to me is that are so many people on these weight loss drugs that it's actually impacting these big box stores.
I think they are.
Shocking.
I think
they are. Like, are there people on Ozempic right now on these weight loss drugs that I don't even, like, know about? Like,
yes.
People that you didn't know or wouldn't have imagined? Mm-hmm. So interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Second, I don't feel sorry for these junk food companies.
Yeah.
I just don't. And I mean, here's the thing. The only hesitation I have in saying that is, like, I'm sure that they employ a lot of people. There's a lot of people who are employed by that, right? Like the people at the manufacturing plant, the trucking people, whatever.
Right, right.
But, I mean, at some point they're going to have to, like, so then transition to healthier foods and continue to employ those people. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. But, yeah, this does not seem like a bad thing to me right now.
Right, right. Well, so it's interesting. Somebody had brought this up, I don't know, maybe 8 months to a year ago to me when Ozempic first was coming out. Like, oh, I read something or they were talking about this. And I remember at the time somebody else was like, there's no way. There's no way that enough people are going to take Ozempic that this is really going to have an impact on these food companies. Guess what?
Yes.
And it only took less than
a year. And I think some of these weight loss drugs are so expensive, by the way, that it just makes you wonder, are people, you know, insurance companies, fewer and fewer insurance companies are covering these weight loss drugs.
But I think there's more of them. I mean, obviously now there's not just Ozempic. There's all of these
other
off-brands.
Correct.
That I think are cheaper. So it's just, it's fascinating to see. It's so, you know, interesting that, to me, the thing that's kind of crazy is, when you take this drug, apparently, you know, you really don't want to eat anything. Mm-hmm. You feel full all the time. And I'm just, that whole idea is kind of mind-boggling to me. And then I think about if I didn't want to eat, I guess I would have no reason to snack on anything. Mm-hmm. You know, like when you think about your eating habits and when I am eating unhealthy things, you know, if you feel full all the time, you don't need those. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, I'm trying to remember when Ozempic first came out, probably within the last year and a half or so, 2 years.
Yeah, I would say 2 years. Yeah.
And you know, there's been some positives and negatives, whatever. If this will just continue to grow or if who knows? Maybe there'll be something that comes out that says, oh, there's a side effect we didn't know about and it won't be as popular. But I'm shocked that it's getting to the point, as you mentioned, that enough people are on it that it's impacting junk food companies.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes. It's hard for me to imagine. In my house, we still like junk food.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. Like, well, things aren't slowing down for us. Like, River still wants her Oreos after dinner. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see where this goes. And also just the impacts that we haven't even thought about yet. Like, what other industries are being impacted or are going to be impacted?
And if it does become, as these things tend to do, becomes less and less expensive, easier to get. Is everybody going to be on it in 5 years? Like, oh, I've got an event coming up. Let me, like, take a couple whatever pills and lose 10 pounds real quick.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, stay tuned. I'm sure this isn't the first time we'll talk about Ozempic. Okay, moving on. Number three here, our article. This is from today.com. And it's American Mom Praises European Parenting and People Have Thoughts. So this is a woman, she is living abroad, and she says that European countries have the right idea. She says they're living in Singapore. Her husband works, and she has a local group of friends, and they're all a blend of different cultures and nationalities. And she writes, before understanding this way of parenting or realizing the parenting could be whatever we wanted to make it, I honestly thought that my house was going to have to look like a Fisher Price threw up all over it, that I would have to spend my days at mommy playgroups, making pleasantries with neighbors and strangers, and spending my Saturdays at dirty play gyms. She says, don't get me wrong, we have some of that sprinkled into the mix, but we also realized that we could take their son to our favorite beach on the weekend where he could play in the sand and explore while we have our fancy lattes. So she writes this, and then commentators have a couple of different thoughts about it. There's one person who says, you know, my parents raised me like this, and I have more sophisticated interests and hobbies, so that's pro. Someone else writes, I was raised mostly like this. My parents took me on vacations to historical places. We cooked and baked, and I listened to music and watched movies and read books that weren't for kids, and I am so grateful. However, there are other people who kind of say, like, yeah, I was raised like this too. I was really lonely, and personally, I felt a little betrayed that my parents felt like I wasn't important to planned activities that I actually liked. I'm 28 now and really don't talk to them anymore.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah.
To hear that perspective. I don't know. I will say this. I do think that life as a parent is totally different in other countries. I do think that America is a little bit of an island and a little bit of we do things differently in general. One of the people responding to this said this, you know, also keep in mind each European country is different.
Correct.
You know, so like let's not blanket like U.S. does it this way and the rest of the world does it this way.
Right.
I think there are definitely nuances where you live and where you're raising your children. But I do think in general, European countries and countries other than the U.S. tend to be more child friendly and tend to include children in more events and things than happens in the U.S.
But what you're saying is like it's OK to take kids to like a fancy restaurant. So not necessarily they have more children activities or that they're catering to kids. It's more of like it's OK to bring your kid along for like the ride, no matter what you're doing.
Yes, yeah, this mom talks about adult dinner parties and, you know, things that we would feel here like, oh, we'd have to get a sitter. You just bring your kids along. I love this because I think I like the idea of including them in more things. And I like the idea, to be honest, of not necessarily taking them to a children's play gym every Saturday. Or, you know, I do think that there comes a point where it's like, okay, like you're getting older. Let's just do things as a family rather than this is for you. And then I'm going to get a sitter for me, you know, like let's meld that a little bit better. The other line that I really liked at the end, she says, you know, I realized we get to make parenting what we want. And I think that sometimes it's easy to get caught up in what your friends are doing, what other parents that you see on social media are doing. But, you know, in the end, it's true. Like, which is kind of both liberating and stressful.
Yeah.
Like we can do what we want. We can raise them how we want, for better or worse, you know. If we want to give our kids donuts for breakfast every day, guess what? We can.
It's right.
Probably not a good idea, but right. You know, I just, as an example, there's ways that we can do this, and we kind of don't really have to follow anybody's mm-hmm. rules, you know?
So I was kind of like terrified of having my house look like Fisher Price before I had River. And now I think actually my house does sometimes look like Fisher Price.
No.
Like just, no, it's okay. I mean, I just think that's like the nature of having yeah. a kid, to be honest. I don't know. I never thought that just made me an American as much as it just made me like a mom, and it just is what right. it is. I guess I'm not super – I'm happy to take – I enjoy seeing River enjoying things. It's something that I think right. until you're a parent, like you can't really imagine mm-hmm. just how mm-hmm. much joy you'll get from seeing mm-hmm. your kid. Mm-hmm. Like – have joy. Like I think about like the Blippi concert I took her to a couple of years ago. Like – the playground that I sometimes don't feel like taking her to, you know, just all of the things that I know she's really mm-hmm. jazzed about. Mm-hmm. And I do think you have to, that's fine. Like she, you know, she can go to some like adult centered things, but mm-hmm. I think it's such a disservice to your kid if you don't do some of the things yeah. that they enjoy and some of the things that they love. I also think, and I don't know if this is, I don't, maybe this is just me. I felt like this writer sounded a little bit like elitist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like you sound like you're rich and so you have the ability to drink fancy lattes and go to fancy dinner parties mm-hmm. and do all of this. And,
yeah.
I don't know. I read it and I was kind of like, I don't know. Something about this is a little ick for me.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't want to. I doubt she's listening, but I was a little bit like, I don't know. It just sounds a little bit entitled.
It does. And I mean, let's be honest. Like, how many of us can like move to Singapore
Correct.
And live this like grand lifestyle? I mean, even if this was more appropriate here in the U.S., I'm still not going to a beach and drinking lattes with my kids.
Right. You know, some days on vacation, I don't know. Yeah, but it is interesting. And I don't think, I mean, obviously, you know, even here in the U.S., as you were saying, people do different things, raise their kids. I mean, every right. podcast there's a different, you know, we're
Take
talking about
things.
Yeah, mm-hmm. a different or like a different parenting strategy. So, yeah, I don't think it's totally wrong to take your kids to some adult things mm-hmm. and just have mm-hmm. them learn that that's the way we do things, you know?
I think it's a mix. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely times when I'm like, say to our kids, hey, this is what mommy and daddy want to do.
Yeah.
We're hanging out with our friends. They have kids who are your age, so you can play with them. But like, this is what we're doing.
Right.
And then there's times where we say, what do you want to do today? You know, what
right.
what is it that you've really been wanting? So I think it is a mix. I have a win.
Okay.
I mentioned this on here before.
Okay.
Ella Ray and Henry, our two oldest, were taking ski lessons.
Okay.
Are
they like jump, like doing jumps? What's
just
happening?
Have to report that they probably Junior Olympics.
Really?
Yeah. No.
Yes.
No. Not
Perfect.
At all. Not at all. But here's the real win, which I don't know. I think skiing, well, I should say this because I just tore my ACL skiing. I think skiing's not the easiest sport.
Right.
And especially for kids, I feel like it's awkward. You have to be able to withstand the cold. There's these long things on your feet. It doesn't, I don't think, always
I don't
come
think
naturally.
Just for kids. This is like for every human
right.
ever, right?
Yeah.
What
mean,
you just mentioned, all of that stuff I hate. Being cold,
yeah.
awkward things on my feet. Like,
yeah.
No.
Anyway, so I was a little weary of them doing these ski lessons, but I just have to report they absolutely loved them.
Yay!
In fact, Ella Ray has said, I said, well, do you guys want to do it again next year? You know, obviously the snow's gone here now and we're moving on to spring and summer. But I said, do you think you want to do it again next year? And she was like, oh, no, I think I'm good. Like,
oh.
I think I'm like a – and she actually said, you know, Dad and I were talking. I think I might be a better skier than you, Mom.
Dang.
Like, oh,
okay.
Oh, okay. And I kind of
like four lessons and she's good
yeah.
to go.
Well, yeah. it was seven, but yeah, yeah,
okay.
yeah. To your point, yes. She's like, so can you ski backwards? I know how to do that now. Can you ski it? Can you do a 360 turn? I know how to do that now. Do you know how to stop two different ways? I know
uh-huh.
how to do that now. You know, like reeling off all the things. They got to do a lot of the big slopes. They got to do the lift a lot. Uh-huh. So, like, in their minds, they are, like, good skiers now. And here we are.
If you're a longtime podcast listener, you know that Karen had a ski injury yes. last winter, had to have surgery. Where are you in your skiing journey here? Did you ski this year?
I did not. I was not allowed to ski this year. I'm supposedly I can go back to skiing again next year.
Okay.
So I will hopefully return and maybe we'll have a ski off between my daughter and I to see if she's
looking forward to that. I'm betting on Ellery. I'll be honest with you.
I know. So is Gregory. I could not do it this year. I don't know. It was fun. It was nice to have something that I felt like I was kind of pushing them a little bit. And I was, like, not really sure how this was going to go. And then they just absolutely loved it. So it was
sometimes a little push, a little parental push is all they need.
And now they think I'm kind of equal parts like, oh, gosh, OK, you are definitely way too confident about this. You are not.
Right.
I'm sure you are not that good. But also I'm proud of you for trying it. And I'm glad that you think you've gotten a lot better. You know, it's one of those weird.
That's
like,
what's great about kids, though. Yeah. You know, fearless.
Yeah. Yeah, she did have an incident where she, like, you know, some of those lifts, like, stop halfway.
Yes.
But you're not supposed to get off.
Yeah.
Well, she got off.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Which I'm glad I only heard about this, like, post.
Somebody else get off with her?
No. The instructor apparently was like, oh, my gosh, and was, like, yelling down, like, stay there. Yeah. I'll come get you. Stay there. And so poor Ellery had to, like, stand at the lift for what she said was an hour. I'm sure it was 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But waiting for the instructor to come get her. And Henry was like, I was in the lift behind her. I was like, what are you doing? Like,
poor Ella Ray. So don't make that mistake again.
Besides the lift exit decisions, it feels like they loved it and had a good time. So there you are.
Well, good. I love it.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe they are going to be good. And can we get a scholarship out of this? This is my
I don't. I have
back
no
of my head
idea.
For everything that I, you do, children. Right. Can you get a college scholarship for
it's
it?
Like, how can I monetize this?
This is what I need here. Anyway, we hope you have a great week and we will see you right back here next time.
Anchor Moms is a Sinclair podcast produced out of WLOS in Asheville. We're your hosts, Katie Killen and Karen Zakalek. Anchor Moms is edited by Matthew Yates.
For more information on the topics discussed in this episode and to stay up to date on future episodes, follow us on Instagram at Anchor Moms.
You can follow Anchor Moms on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Know a parent who could benefit from this week's Anchor Moms episode? Your recommendations help our show to grow, so spread the word.